So this is Luis Rios here with Avid Addict Unanimous. I'm here with my friend Evan Angulo. Say hi.
How you doing, y'all? How you doing?
So I didn't really have too much planned, as we were discussing for like the last half hour already.
Right.
But I wanted to give a quick interlude on like what got you into like your little nostalgia into gaming, I guess. What brought you into the fold?
Yeah. I honestly didn't really, like, basically with us growing up, like, kids nowadays typically have phones and iPads at, like, nowadays, but when we were growing up, like, PSPs and Game Boy Advances, those were, like, our phones, basically. And I remember it was Christmas of either 2005 or 2006. My mom got me a gift. She got me the Game Boy Advance, like, the Game Boy SP Advance.
Yeah.
And it came with Narnia, and that was, like, my first game.
Wait, the Chronicles of Narnia?
Yeah, the Chronicles of Narnia.
That was my first game, bro.
Right. And I was so excited when I got that, and I was playing it immediately as soon as I got it. And it was one of those where, like, wasn't the Game Boy Color, didn't you need batteries for that?
The
Or could you just charge it?
The Game Boy Color itself, you needed the batteries.
Yeah, but Game Boy Advance
and like SP, you had a charger.
Yeah, you had a charger. Like that was I'm pretty sure that was like the first one. I think so. The Game Boy SP.
Yeah.
That came with the charger. But yeah, I played that so much, bro. I was obsessed with that. Like, I remember bringing it to church with me, and I would play it all the time. And my mom would yell at me, and she would like take it away, and like I wouldn't know how to act. I just couldn't go back to my old ways without having it around. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure I was more connected to my Game Boy Advance than I was to my phone. But yeah, it was fun. For Chronicles of Narnia, they made a pretty good game.
So you were about like 6 at this time, right?
Yeah, I was like
6 in church, constantly playing Chronicles of Narnia.
Pretty much.
The movie game.
I was 6 or 7.
The Game Boy Advance SP.
Yeah, I like playing Edward.
Wait, you could pick characters.
Yeah, you could pick your characters. Whichever the little girl was, whoever the little girl was, she kicked. That was her thing. The only thing she did. She would just kick people until like they pummeled to the ground. Edward would just punch you. The oldest, who I think had yellow hair, I don't remember his name, but he had a stick, I think. And the sister was useless. She did nothing.
I forget the names of the other two, actually.
I don't remember.
I read the books actually way back when.
I did not.
Made by C.S. Lewis.
I didn't even watch the movie.
So
I played the game before I watched the movie.
Wait, you've seen the movie then, right?
I saw the movie afterwards.
Oh, okay. The movie's actually Type 1.
Yeah, but that was my first gaming system that I ever had. And I had these friends who lived nearby me, these two twins. And they introduced me to other game systems because they had the GameCube. They had the Nintendo 64. And on weekends, I remember going down there and hanging out with them, and we would just play games all day long on the GameCube and the Nintendo 64, and that's where Super Mario World, and Star Fox, and like some Donkey Kong game. I remember, but it was like in the yellow cartridge. Mm. And I remember growing up how like when the Nintendo 64, if the game wasn't working. Like, the fortunate thing about games not working back then is that you could just take it out and you could just blow into it. You know that was a myth, right?
That's not really what happened. You just thought that that's what helped it.
The dust? What did the dust mess it up, though?
Kind of. I mean, you spitting it actually makes it worse, too.
The myth isn't a myth. It worked. Every single time it worked. Also, I don't care if this is a myth either. I refuse. But I don't remember, like, if there was a... For my Wii, when I had a Wii... I was about 10. Mm-hmm. And for the Wii, you needed batteries. I remember whenever we would run out of batteries, we would take the batteries out the controller and then put them in the fridge or in the freezer. And then we'd just leave it in there for some time. And then we put it back in our controller and it would work.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic move.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that with like a CD or like a disc or anything?
No.
Apparently, like, if you ever had, like, a scratched up disc, you throw it in the freezer.
What, bro? That sounds more... I don't know why, but that just sounds more bizarre than putting batteries in.
There's a lot of, like, weird, like, bullcrap type nonsense that people have done, but, like, still somehow work.
Yeah.
Like, again, blowing into the cartridge is one of those, like, many things that, like, you don't know how it actually works because you're...
Magic.
You're kind of ruining it at the same time.
That's how it works.
Another thing with like CDs, I don't know how that crap worked at all. Mm. So there was that. I know, like, have you ever done, like, the toothpaste trick on, like, CDs or no?
Oh, that sounds so familiar. I don't think I did that, but I swear, I'm pretty sure I've seen some, one of my friends do that before.
I had, like, a scuffed up, like, Call of Duty Black Ops 3 disc. And, like, I really wanted to play with my friends. So I ended up just, you know, going at it. I just rubbed it all night, threw it in the freezer. And then instead of, like, me, like, suffering the
toothpaste?
Most. Yeah. It was scratched up. It was only scratched up. I ended up installing the disc into my Xbox. And that's when it got rings on the disc itself. So it burned the whole CD.
Okay.
So it made the CD basically unplayable.
Right.
Unless, because I did install it, so it had most of it there. It just needed to, like, boot up for half a second.
That's wild. So, but basically, I remember just growing up, aside from Narnia, I grew up, like, how, like, the typical kid. I grew up playing, like, a bunch of Mario games. I remember we even had Mario Golf.
Mario Golf, that's...
For the Nintendo 64. I don't know why they made it.
I don't think I've ever played that, no.
I don't remember it. It was bad. I know it was bad because I don't remember it. But I remember their mom came home one day. It's still the same twins, but their mom came home one day with Mario Tennis, and we played that game so much, bro. We played Mario, that game. What else was there?
They probably had Mario Party? No.
Did they have Mario Party for the
N64? I feel like it's more a GameCube thing. I don't know.
Mario Double Dash, but for the GameCube, we played that. Mm-hmm. And aside from, like, Mario, we also played, like, anime games like Naruto. Like, the first, like, the original OG Naruto Clash of Ninja. Mm-hmm. Like, the OG, like, just Naruto Clash Ninja, not Revolution, not Ultimate Ninja Storm, just, like, Clash of Ninja, where there was only, like, 7 characters. And if you play the story mode, you unlock Rock Lee, so you just have 8 characters to choose from.
Oh, word?
Yeah, but it felt like, just growing up.
Well,
like,
this is back, like, when the first season or second season were dropping, right?
Yeah, this is when, like, Naruto was, this was before Shippuden. This is, like, when it was, like, pretty, pretty new. And just, like, growing up, it felt like the roster was so much, like, larger. Because, you know, nowadays, it's more about, like, quantity over quality. Mm-hmm. Rather than, like, that. That just, like, goes to show, like, I feel like more so as, like, as a kid, you appreciate the quality of things more. And, like games today, like Smash, they do a good job of, like, making sure there's a decent amount of quality, but there's, like, so many characters now because people want more characters to choose from. But, like, and I don't really think, like, a game like Naruto Clash of Ninja, where there's only 8 characters, would, like, have the same type of effect that it had in the past. Mm-hmm. Because there was only so many things to do compared to, like, games nowadays.
Like, how it's, like, progressed, like, becoming so, like, advanced, like, it wouldn't even, like, stand up.
And now, there's so many different options, and the larger it is, the better.
I feel like we'd be, like, hyper... Well, I mean, you know me, and, like, I like to dog on a bunch of games that have, like, X amount of limited characters or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's stuff like that, like, tends to grind my gears a bit. Mm. They just, like, overcharge you for all that DLC and all that.
Yeah. That's another big change between, like, gaming then and now. Like, they used to just sell you the whole game back then, and now they basically give you, like, parts of the game. And if you want to get the full
experience,
yeah, the full experience of the game, you have to, like, purchase DLCs of new characters, new maps, and, like, and everything else that comes in the package for, like, 60 something plus dollars. I'm like, I'm not gonna pay for that. I already paid $60 for the game, bro. You want me to pay another 60 for more characters?
Well, duh. I mean, that's how it works, man.
Bro, what? No.
You gotta pay double the price.
I refuse, bro.
That's the actual, like, way you play games now these days.
I refuse, bro.
It's ridiculous.
But when I was younger, I used to be a pretty big gamer, and I gradually, like, regressed into that because for games like NBA 2K, for example. Mm-hmm. They make a new one every single year, and the only real difference is that the graphics get a little bit better, and they introduce the rookies. That's the only real difference. Mm. But yet people continue to pay $60+ every year to get the same game, but just with rookies.
I don't know what you're talking about. 2020, they got the women's NBA now, right? WNBA.
Okay. Okay. That's was actually, like, a smart business move because of, like, the growth that the WNBA is showing and all, like, the little girls who have been wanting to see something like that for a long time. See, that's a smart move. See, that's a big difference between 2019 and 2018, mm-hmm. for example, where it's literally the same exact game, but they just introduce the rookies that come into the season.
Right.
Introducing like an entire other league into a game, which has never happened before. There's never been a WNBA before. That's a big, big change, and like that's a smart marketing move. And props to them at that point. But
I mean, they should have had it like how many years ago prior?
Right, right. But stuff like that makes more sense. But if they were to do something like, say, they gave you the actual game, but a DLC would be to buy the WNBA characters, I feel like that would be like the wrong approach.
Mm-hmm. Like they pay, make you pay a lot more for the other characters.
Mm.
I think that's what kind of sucks about like modern industry trends, but I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, back, what was your first like ever proper experience, or like back in like high school, you know, where like you'd sit on the couch, or maybe just like come into your room late at night to like 3 a.m. or something like that? What was your first experience with that?
Oh my god. Wait, repeat your question?
So like, what was your first experience of just like crashing, staying up all night just to play one set game?
Oh my, bro, I just remember this now. Growing up, I was such a huge WWE fan, and me and my best friend Elliot, we would play WWE games all day, every day, every single weekend after middle school. He'd ask his mom to come over, and she would say yes if we got our homework done, and we'd always get our homework done as soon as we got back from class, so we could just play all weekend. And it was WWE 2K9. We'd make our own characters, and we based them off of our favorite wrestlers, and we would just like fight, and we do tag teams, and we would just play that all day, every day. My mom didn't want us playing the game because she thought it'd be a bad influence and make us violent or whatever, make us want to join the WWE. No, mom, we just had fun playing the game. We were big fans. But yeah, I just remember on weekends, me and my friends would come home, we would just play WWE on the Wii for hours. We played on the Wii. So we'd actually be sweating the motion control. And like we'd press like the A and B to grapple and then flip them over and then tag team and stuff like that. It was a fun time.
Those are some advanced controllers for Nintendo console that no one liked.
Yeah,
well, everyone had to, I think.
Yeah, I went from like
the Wii U is the one though.
From Nintendo Mario games to WWE fighting games to more anime games to sports games. So there's been a transition. But I still play all of those types of games whenever.
Now you stuck to like all these Nintendo consoles from like Game Boy up to the Wii now.
Yeah, and then I had to join the Dark Sun and join PS4, which is better than Xbox.
All right. Well, you know, you continue this childish tirade, you know.
It's better than Xbox.
Since when?
The Xbox controller gives you arthritis.
I feel like that would happen with the PS4 controller with how small it is for your hands.
Man, my hands feel perfectly fine.
Well, it's because you got small hands, so.
Yeah, it's fine. It does the job. It does the job.
We're not here to talk about consoles.
Yeah.
I have them all, so not like I care about either one.
What about you? What was your first game?
My first game, it's on my vlog, actually. It's my first game experience I could recall. I'm not sure if this is my first, but it's playing Vector Man on like the, you know, Sega Genesis.
Oh, you old.
I'm not. Well, yeah, kind of. I got a few years on you, so.
Yeah.
Wait, when 2005, I was just like, damn.
When did the Sega Genesis come out?
It came out back in like 95, so it actually predates me. Mm. I only had it because my older brother had the system. Mm. And he like lived in New Jersey, so I kind of just got it by default because he didn't need it there.
It's kind of interesting how I think like those that came before us and our older relatives, like the games they played kind of fall down on us, because my friends were like a little bit older than me, so they had the systems that got dropped down to me. And because growing up, there's no way I would have stumbled upon a Nintendo 64, because that was when it was the Game Boy Advance, like the Pokemon games are coming out, and that was right when the DSi came out, like the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit after the Nintendo 64.
The N64 was actually the same era as the Genesis too, so like when people have like memories of that, it's like something that was given to them later on.
Mm.
It's like that type of nostalgia factor that's built into them now.
That's pretty interesting. That's pretty cool to think about. But nowadays, I don't know anything about gaming. I know there are a lot of... All I know is that there are a lot... There's a lot of games coming out. There's a lot of games coming out. And it's really hard to come by games that... Nowadays, because... Nowadays, it's hard to come by games that you consider to be cult classics, for example. Because there's so many that come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just comes with everything. You can put that into any aspect, like music or animation or movies. It's just hard to come by cult classics because there's such a wide variety to choose from.
I think it's just because like they produce way too many, and like the industry is constantly throwing one after the other after the other.
Yeah, and they don't come out as good. Like there's not as much love as there used to be.
It's like that vague AAA that'll like one day be good, but you know, after they throw out like 20 different indie titles that no one cares for.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd be cool to make a game though.
You want to add that to your catalog?
I think that's on my bucket list. After I'm done, or after I've been working in like the animation industry for like a little bit, I might transition over to maybe producing my own game. Just one game. I don't want to get into like the gaming field. I just want to go through the experience of making one game, like how the creator of Rick and Morty, Justin Roiland,
yes,
made Trover Saves the Universe. I just think it'd be cool.
Well, he also did another one.
He has his own. He actually has his own gaming company, like Squanch Games or something like that.
Yeah,
but
they only focus on like VR stuff because I know they another like Rick and Morty game too.
I think so. I think they only do VR stuff. I wouldn't want to go that far, but I think it'd be cool just to try and make your own game. No one take this idea, but I think this would be an awesome idea for a video game. If someone made a, I'm forgetting his name, a Popeyes game.
A Popeyes game?
Yeah, a 2020 Popeyes game.
So you just like pop free, off a spinach can or something?
Free roam Popeye game.
Oh, free roam.
Yeah. Like just make a vast world for him to explore and stuff like that. Mm. But like make it rated T or like make it rated R.
You mean M?
Yeah, M. See, I don't game anymore, man. It's beyond me. But yeah, make a rated M Popeyes game. That'd be dope. That'd be so dope, bro.
What do you think you'd be doing then?
Just fighting people.
You want to introduce like some old nostalgic like cartoon characters like Betty Boop, get her back in
there. Facts, yes. Have all the old characters, bro, and just put them all together and have Popeye be the main character. It kind of be like a Battle for Volcano Island.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those games? Those Nickelodeon games where they would have like Danny Phantom and SpongeBob and
were
Patrick.
They like always on like Nick or something like that? Nick.com?
Yeah, the games?
No, or is these like the actual like Game Boy games that they would make sometimes?
It was a game that they had for the GameCube, Battle for Volcano Island. It was a dope game. I remember growing up and playing that extensively. It's a 2-player game where you basically, there's a story and you have to just save the world. So you go through a bunch of adventures and they mix you with a bunch of different characters from Nickelodeon. Like there was SpongeBob, Danny Phantom, Patrick. Who else? Sam from Danny Phantom, Timmy Turner.
Uh-huh.
It was cool.
But they have the fairies too or no?
Yeah, he had the fairies.
Alright. Wanda and Cosmo. Yeah. Wanda and Cosmo. I haven't seen the Fairly Odd Parents said they crapped on that whole franchise.
Yes they did.
That's Butch Hartman.
Shouldn't have introduced a baby. it made no sense.
So, Battle for Volcano Island.
That was a cool game. That was a very fun game. That was one of the games that me and my friends, the twins, would stay up and play too. They need to make more. There are a lot of games where. That's another thing that I think has changed like over time is just the community aspect in gaming in a sense. It's grown in some ways, and I feel like it's digressed in other ways. Because there would be a lot of like one-player games that you can't necessarily play with your friends unless you do it online on their own systems, you know? Like, for example, Warframe.
Yeah.
If I wanted to play with Corey on Warframe, he has to get on his PS4, and then he has to get on the game at the same time.
Right.
From like wherever he's at.
Well, that's a co-op game. That's not like single player experience. You also play that single player.
Yeah.
So what are you trying to get at? Sorry.
No, I mean like how that's like he couldn't play it on the same system as me at the same time and be in the same room as
like
me.
Like doing like split screen type stuff.
Yeah, like how you could with like other games on the GameCube, for example.
Mm. Well, I mean, like, at least with Warframe, I know it's like a free-to-play thing, so it's not like it affects anyone personally to, like, just install it on their own consoles. And the whole reason is so that way, like, they get more people involved, you know, to add, like, a social aspect to the gaming. I feel like that's what makes it interesting with those type of games. You know, you have, like, Destiny. I was not a fan of Destiny.
I was not a fan of Destiny.
I liked it to a fault. I think I liked it too much at, like, first. And then, like, when Destiny 2 came around, I was kind of drowned in, like, just sadness.
Why?
Because I felt so hyped up with Destiny 1, or, like, the first one. When Destiny 2 dropped, I was just like, I'm just playing this because my friends have it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's literally just, like, enjoying that social aspect to the game rather than, like, actually enjoying the game itself.
Yeah. Yeah, another, like, that's why I said in some ways it digressed, but in other ways it, like, definitely grew the community, because even in high school, as I started getting into games like 2K, there's something called My Park, or it's something called My Park, where, like, you just form a team with your friends on their systems, and then you versus other people, and we would get destroyed. Me and my friends would get destroyed game after game, but it was just fun because we would talk trash to each other even though we're on the same team. Okay. It's like, bro, pass the ball. You missed like 7 shots, bro. You suck. And then, like, they would tell me I suck, and I'd score like 20 points in a row, and then it would be like, okay, all right, man. Like,
charging while you're still on fire.
Yeah. And like, we'd lose, but we would still have a fun time because we'd still be laughing and joking, and our friends who would like miss wide open layups and free throws. It's fun. It's a fun time.
Gosh. I mean, you got anything else that you want to add on to, like, this nostalgia trip or nah?
Pokemon was fun.
just Pokemon was fun? Just add that blurb?
I liked Pokemon. Pokemon.
Which one was yours then?
Which one did I play? Sapphire.
Oh, that makes sense. Game Boy Advance.
Yeah. I played Pokemon Sapphire. I always went with Torchic. I made sure he was a boy because of my sexist ways growing up, you know, as a kid. You know, boys rule, girls drool.
Of course, stuff. These are facts, of course.
Exactly. And
no offense to all my female viewers or listeners.
I've changed. But yeah, Pokemon was a very, very fun game growing up. Like, that was the... After Narnia, I got tired of that. Where I was playing Narnia, and then my friend let me borrow his Pokemon Sapphire game, which I never returned. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love immediately, and I'll just play it all the time. And being like a little kid, you didn't know how to beat games. You would just literally run around in the circle for the same time and just fight Pokemon. And I remember having a Blaziken. My Torchic ended up evolving into a Blaziken, and I had him at a level 100. And then...
And you still didn't beat the Elite Four, or...
No, I didn't try to, bro. I didn't.
You didn't know what to do.
Like, no, like, literally, I was like 6 years old, just playing the game. And, like, literally, I thought I didn't know what the objective of the game was. I would just go, like, I would beat gyms. I would like beat gyms, and I'd get badges, but it wasn't intentional. Like, I would just stumble upon this gym, and I'd be like, oh, okay, I guess I'm fighting you. I got another badge.
While I'm on the way, might as well.
Exactly. I mean, I might as well. You're out here like trying to press me, man.
Gosh, man.
Destroy your Krogunk.
Oh, crap. I mean, I remember, like, I didn't have Sapphire myself. Mm. Believe it or not, I stole that from my little sister.
Of course.
She had a technically stolen Nintendo SP, too.
Yeah. As you should.
No, well, like, someone left it at, like, our local library.
No, you don't have money. We don't have money growing up.
But here's the thing. Like, I already had my own SP. Hers was, like, gold because, you know...
Ooh.
Not hers, but because it was like left at the library for X amount of like weeks, they're just like, you know, we gotta get rid of this. No kids claiming it, so you know, next of kin or whoever showed the hell up.
Mm.
So whoever showed the hell up was my little sister. Now she has like a Nintendo SP with Sapphire in it. I stole Sapphire, threw that in my thing. I played that for like hours on end. I beat the game. I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure what happened to it afterwards though. I know I lost it. I lost the cartridge, and she got tight.
I bet. I would be tight.
She held a grudge on me for, like, I don't know how many years, maybe, like, 3 or 4.
I held a grudge on my uncle for the same amount of time because I ended up losing my Game Boy Advance in his car. He drove me somewhere, I remember, and I left it in the car, and he drove away before he drove away. And it was only until like an hour or two later that I realized that I had left it in his car. And ooh. It's not often that I would see him. So the next time he came back, he had a new car. And I'm like, where is it? And he's like, what? He's like, my system. Is it? I didn't see it in there. I'm like, what are you doing to me?
What's happening? Why you gotta do this to me?
Please tell me you're lying. But yeah, it was a sad day. But I had a Blaziken at a level 100, bro. You know how many hours it takes?
Probably like
five.
I mean, how? You didn't even beat the Elite Four.
I don't know, man. I don't know what I was doing, bro. I don't know what I was doing.
Five doesn't make much sense to get to like level 100.
Man, maybe like 10, bro.
You define like laws of physics in that game.
Maybe like 10, bro. Nowadays there's probably a way to jailbreak your phone, and get a Pokemon.
There's definitely so many ways. I've seen like people like hack these games.
That's another way. That's another way people have now ruined these games, bro. They're getting too smart. They're just jailbreaking everything, bro. You could put Mewtwo in The Last of Us or something like that.
Actually, that'd be great, man.
That'd be hilarious too.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to end this. Yeah, we'll just like end it as like this is the last of this.
Yeah, let's just complete silence and then say bye. And then say bye.
No proper segue, just end it like this. Bye. Well, thanks, Evans, for being here for all this. This is quite the discussion.
No problem.
I don't think any one of these is going to be as long as this one.
Probably not.
You've been listening to Luis Rios and, you know,
Evans Angulo.
Oh, where can they follow your socials? You know, you going
to make sure
we're doing this?
Yeah, make sure to follow my personal Instagram at Daydreaming Artworks. And you could also follow another Instagram of this animated series I'm working on titled Untainted_the_series.
So when's the game coming out for Untainted?
The game coming out for Untainted. The animation has to come out for Untainted. Then we could talk about the game.
You're right.
What would that game even be? Probably like a puzzle game. Probably.
Or like one of those like Bejeweled type things or something else?
No. What's that one game? Me and Corey were talking about this one game that came out. It was like a puzzle game. Carolina? It started with a C. Oh my god.
I wouldn't know. I don't play too many puzzle games anymore, so.
But yeah, it'd be a puzzle game like that.
You've been listening to Luis Rios and Evans Angulo. He already gave his stuff. With Avid Addict Unanimous. This is You Before Me. Alright. Catch you later.